الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث صدقة جارية أو علم ينتفع به أو ولد صالح يدعو له وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and brought us into existence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us pass through a journey. First our arwah were created, our ruh. Our ruhs were created and placed in alam arwah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioned our arwah, our ruhs, in the land of the souls, in the alam arwah. Alastu bi rabbikum. Am I not your Rabb? In unison, with one voice, every ruh that came into this world, every person that came into this world, from the time of Adam alayhi salam, right till the last person to be born, Muslim, non-Muslim, all the ruhs, before they came into this world, in alam arwah, they all answered bala. Oh Allah, definitely you are our Rabb. Because they are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala direct, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala direct. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed our ruh in the wombs of our mothers, another stage of our life, 8, 7, 8, 9 months. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us into the world. This stage of our life, there is no guarantee how long a person is going to live. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows how long a person is going to be on the face of the earth. If you go to a Kabristan, you'll see the ages. Some Kabristan, they have the age of the marhum written there. You'll see one grave, person was buried there, passed away when he was 75 years old. Next to him you see a person 45 years old. Next to that you may see somebody 65 years old. Next to that you may see someone 15 years old. So how long a person is going to live in this world, that is determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is a very, very cruel person's journey. Because if a person passes this stage, because this stage is an examination, and such an examination that if a person fails here, he doesn't get a chance to come back into that examination room again. Matric results out, everybody is asking, relatives are asking, what was their marks? Did you pass? Didn't you pass? If a person fails some examination in this world, he get another chance, maybe to write supplementary exams, or maybe to repeat the year. But if a person dies, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, then this person will never get a chance again to come back. He will say, Rabbi raji'un, O Allah, send me back into this world. La'alli a'malu salihan fima taraktu. Kalla. He will plead, "Oh Allah, send me back into this world. Now I will bring iman. Now I will do good deeds. Just give me one more chance." Kalla. Never. As of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person, istighfar and tawbah is accepted, hatta yugharghir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah of a person until that gharghara sound, when a person, the sound that comes off a person's throat and the la, when his soul is leaving the body. That is when he's seeing the angel of death. He's seeing Jannah and Jahannam in front of him. He's seeing the angels of mercy or angels of azab. At that time now, when he's seeing the akhirah in front of him, then it's too late. Then a person cannot make tawbah. Then a person cannot bring iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world as an examination. Today, every parent is worried about the future of his children. And this is a natural instinct of a person. If you look at an animal in a jungle also, bird in the sky also, what is its object of life? And how I can get the best food, how I can get the best shelter, how I can fulfill my desires. And when he gets children, then how I can protect my young and see it to the best for my children. Whether it is that bird that is feeding the little chicks in the nest, or whether that lion or lioness in a jungle taking care of their cubs, or the cow they're looking after his calf, all the animals, that is the object of their life. Now we have to ask ourselves this question, that is this the object of my life? Is this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me? That to get the best food, the best drink, the best shelter over my head, see to the best material well-being of my children, grow old and die. Is this the object of my life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Majeed, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created insan and jinnat except to worship me, except to come into my bandagi, to become my slaves, to obey me. In simple words, to obey that success in this world, qabr and akhirat lies only in obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the mubarak tariqah shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person does this, then he is successful. And if a person does not do this, he is not doing this, then he is unsuccessful. So today every person is worried about the future of his child. And sometimes a person only looks as far as his nose. As we mentioned earlier, that we are on a journey. The life of this world is no guarantee. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. That too, there is no guarantee. Then after that, there is a life of barzakh. My child, I'm worried about the future of my child. That he's 60, 70 years in this world. What about the future of my child when he goes in that qabr? How long he is going to be in that alam-e barzakh? 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 50,000 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows. Till qiyamat. And then he is going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi yawmin kana miqdaruhu 50 alf sana, on a day which is 50,000 years long. We'll have to cross the bridge of Sirat, the bridge of Sirat, which is a journey of 1,500 years. And after that is a life of Jannat or Jahannam. The person dies without Iman, he's going to Jahannam forever and ever and ever, infinity. Person dies with Iman, then he will go to Jannat. Person dies in the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with him. Then he will go directly into Jannat. And he will be there forever and ever and ever. Infinity. Never to come out again. Never to die. So we are all worried about the future of our children. And the future of our children, as I say, is in this world. But this future carries on. But each one of us should ask, how much of emphasis am I laying on that future of my child when he's in this world? And how much of emphasis am I laying on the future of my child after he leaves this world? And not only after he leaves, such Islam is such Islam and Deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rewards a person gets in a year after. But the benefits of deen start in this world. That not that a person will only benefit from deen after he leaves this world. Deen will benefit a person in this world also. It will benefit him in a qabr also. It will benefit him on the day of Qiyamah. It will benefit him on the bridge of Sirat. And through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will enter into Jannat. And the life of Bedini, a life without the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a life without the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a life of problems, difficulty, hardship in this world also, and the qabr, and the day of Qiyamah, and on the bridge of Sirat, and in Jahannam forever and ever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that إِذَا مَاتَ إِبْنُ Adam, when a person passes away, all his amal come to an end. Now he can't say one subhanallah more. He can't say one alhamdulillah more. He can't recite one more time durood sharif. He can't perform one two rakat of salah. And even if he was given the ability to do so, then his books are closed. He will not get any reward now. Now lying in that qabr, if he says a billion times subhanallah also, now that will not go to his book of deeds. His book of deeds has closed now. Illa min thalas, except three things. Sadaqatin jariya. Sadaqa jariya, if a person gave something, a sadaqa. For example, a person built a masjid. Oh, he dug a well, had a well dug, borehole dug, built some madrasa, gave some money to some madrasa. Now, as long as that madrasa is in existence and students are learning deen from there, as long as he gave a few cents to the masjid and that went into the foundation of the masjid, went into the walls of the masjid, went into the different parts of the masjid. Now, as long as people are performing salah in the masjid, making tilawat of Quran, making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making effort for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as effort is taking place in a masjid, amal are taking place in a masjid, a person will continue getting the reward. Oh, ilmun yuntafa'u bihi, a person taught somebody something. A person taught somebody something. Now as long as that person, you may be long gone in a qabr, as long as a person is benefiting from there, from that knowledge, and that chain may continue. For example, you taught somebody Surah Fatiha, right? He taught another 10 people Surah Fatiha. And the chain continued until thousands of people learned Surah Fatiha. All the people that will read Surah Fatiha, all that will come to your reward. That scene is still before eyes when Hafiz Sali, we used to call him Hafiz Suleiman Ovi Rahmatullah Ali, standing here at the edge of the masjid, and the children that are entering the masjid, you will ensure that each one, you will test each one, the dua of entering the masjid. And on a daily basis, all his class will have to enter the masjid, stand next to him, read the dua and enter the masjid with the right foot. And the scene was repeated after the Asr Salah. He'll stand again at the edge of the masjid. All the students had to read the Salah, had to read the dua to him when they're exiting the masjid, exit with the left foot. Bring the children up. You'll see him bring the children up to wudu khana and practically see how they are making a wudu. One is to teach them the wudu, the laws of wudu, and then you bring them up to the wudu khana and now make the wudu in front of me. Show me what you are doing. Now, all the children, the hundreds of children that passed through him, all reading the dua and entering the masjid, exiting the masjid, they are making wudu daily, 5-6 times a day, they are making wudu daily. All that reward is going to him in a qabr. So, O ilmun yantafa'u bihi. O waladun salihun yad'u lahum. O a pious child that makes dua for a deceased parent. How many times have we seen before us that children, highly educated, professionals, doctors, whatever, engineers, highly educated professionals, but they do not, when the parent passes away, they do not even know how to read a janaza salah. They do not even know how to read janaza salah for a parent. And Allah the Protector, sometimes the case is such that they do not even have the time to come for the janaza salah. They are in some part of the world, very busy. When they hear the parent is sick, they are unable to take leave and come also. And when they hear now the parent has passed away, just send me the bill, tell me whatever the funeral expenses are, I'll send the money. Do not have the tawfiq and to come for the janaza salah also. My respected brothers, when you have made the dunya the be all and end all of our life, then respected brothers, we may teach them, give them the best of education, give them the best of this world, but if we have not given them deen and Islamic values, and we have taught them that the dunya is the object of their life, then this is the end result, respected brothers. Now at the beginning of the year, schools have opened, madrasas have opened, maktabs have opened. Respected brothers, each one of us, one is, if we have children, ensure that our children are attending the maktab. And not just any maktab. Like a person sends his children to the best school he can afford. Let us send our children to good maktabs. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us in this country, you know, in our community alone. In our speaking of which alone, there are maybe half a dozen or even more maktabs. The entire country is where there is not a single maktab. In an entire country, there is not a single maktab. And we are so fortunate, respected brothers, in our country, when our forefathers came, first thing that they did was build a masajid and start the maktabs. People from all over the world come to our country, to our speaking of beach, to learn how from our ulama, how to run the maktabs, what syllabus to teach in the maktabs. So respected brothers, we have this great wealth before us. Ensure that our children are attending the maktab and enrolled in the maktabs. You may say, I do not have any children of that age that can go to maktab, but you should look around. Maybe my grandchildren, my nephews, my nieces, people in my neighborhood, my neighbor's children, there are still children in our community that are not attending maktab. So we should make an effort, go to our parents, impress upon them the importance of the children going to madrasa. We all know that Bismillah, that Surah Fatiha we learnt in that maktab, the same Fatiha and Bismillah we are reading in our salah now. The same dua kunut we learned then, the same dua after azan we learned then, in the madrasa, in the maktab, that is what we are reading today. And the importance of the maktab can be seen from our Hazrat Maulana Harun Rahmatullah Ali, that he was a Shaykh al-Hadith of a madrasa. Shaykh al-Hadith, the highest ustad in the madrasa, in the Darul Room. But in the afternoon, he was sitting in the madrasa downstairs and listening to the alif of the children, listening to the Bismillah and Qul Allah of the children. This is how important maktab education is, respected brothers. Then our children are attending madrasa, have enrolled in a maktab. Let us ensure, respected brothers, that they are punctual, that they are daily, they are there. Why is it that we see that a child comes on a Tuesday morning, on Tuesday afternoon, and why did you come to madrasa yesterday? No, I went for a haircut. Have you ever seen a child that comes to school on a Tuesday morning and he's asked, why didn't you come to school on Monday yesterday? He said, no, because I went for a haircut. Respected brothers, so let us show that importance to the maktab and ensure that our children attending regularly. Sometimes what happens, a person, child is attending Muslim school, and a person appeases his nafs that my child, alhamdulillah, is learning. One or two periods a day, they're doing some Islamic education, respected brothers. But that can never replace the maktab, where a person sits for 2 hours, 2.5 hours on the floor, in front of the ustad, reading Quran, reading his surahs, reading his duas. That is, by the way, in the school, sometimes, even that 1-2 periods a day, sometimes I cut away when there is a need, when there is exam time. And that can never replace the maktab, but a person completely free from everything else, he takes his judan and goes to madrasa, sits before that ustad for 2-2.5 hours and learns. Respected brothers, that can never replace the maktab. And respected brothers, whatever our children learn in madrasa also, at home, let us sit with them. Let us revise the lesson. Many times we have forgotten what we learnt in madrasa. Before we even start the school homework at night. So now what happens? We'll do the school homework when we have the time. Then we will find the time for the madrasa work. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's the end of the incident. When Hazrat Isa alayhi salam passed by a grave and he saw the punishment and azab coming upon that grave. And he passed by quickly from there and he went on his journey. On his return, he passed by that grave again. When he passed by that grave, he saw the angels of mercy over there, rahmat descending upon, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending upon that same grave, nur coming out from that grave. So he was shocked. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what is it? So he was informed that this person was a very, very sinful person, very disobedient person. When he passed away, from the time he passed away many years ago, he is in azab and punishment. But when he passed away, he left a wife who was pregnant. The wife gave birth. After 5-6 years, the child now went to madrasa, to the maktab. And the ustad made the child read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most magnificent, the most merciful. Now when the child read, called me Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, most merciful, how could I continue punishing the parent, the father of the child? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the father and send out his mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq.